Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the ever-changing world of technology? Tech It Out can help make some sense of it all. Breaking down geek speak into street speak, technology columnist, author, and TV personality Mark Saltzman covers consumer technology each week for every listener. Mark tackles the latest news, reviews, and how-tos to help you understand what's hot, what's not, and why.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech It Out. This is episode 299. I'm so stoked to hit the 300 episode mark next week. 300 episodes, as this weekly show started in July of 2017 and became a podcast a couple of years later. Thank you so much to the listeners, to the sponsors, to Radio America, my syndication partner, and to all the radio stations that pick up this show, as there are more than 100. I'll chat more about this milestone next week and arrange for a giveaway as well. But this episode of Tech It Out that you're listening to will be a great show as well. In fact, as I mentioned last week, I was traveling to the Amazon rainforest to do a story for USA Today. And so I'll play my interview with Intel about what they're doing in a very remote part of Brazil to help indigenous people there. Really interesting story. So that's coming up this hour. Before that, in a few seconds from now, I'll give my impressions of Apple Vision Pro, the company's mixed reality headset coming out next year. I was in California after Brazil to try the Vision Pro headset for myself, and so I will share my thoughts momentarily. On the back nine of this program, gadget and game gift ideas for dads and grads. That's right, Father's Day is coming up next weekend. So we'll chat with tech expert Mario Armstrong for some suggestions, and I'll share a few of mine as well. All of this and more on an all-new Tech It Out, powered by Asus for those in search of incredible. I'll tell you more about Asus shortly, but let's officially kick off this week's show. All right, so as I mentioned, I was in Cupertino at Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference this week, and I had a chance to test drive Apple Vision Pro. You've probably heard about it because it was all over the news this week. This is the company's first wearable spatial computing device, as they call it. So for this segment, I did want to talk about the Apple Vision Pro. In case you didn't read my hands-on piece for USA Today, not only is this ski goggle-shaped mixed reality headset Apple's biggest product since Apple Watch debuted in 2015, but it's easily its most ambitious. It's been in development for multiple years and tied to more than 5,000 patents. It's going to be available in early 2024 for an astounding $3,499 to start. Yes, this is not for those without deep pockets, but I'll get to all of that in due time. So even if you could afford it, is it any good? Well, at WWDC, I did have a chance to wear and use Vision Pro for about 30-35 minutes and run through several applications that fused augmented reality, where you can see digital information overlaid on top of the real world around you, with virtual reality, realistic imagery that fully envelops your field of vision and tied to head tracking, kind of like a Meta Quest headset. All right, price notwithstanding, I would go on record to agree with Apple that the Vision Pro is the most advanced personal electronics device ever. That's a huge statement. Again, price aside, this was amazing stuff. And yes, unfortunately, it has a little battery pack to power the glasses that you just keep beside you or slip it into your pocket or something. But at least at this stage in the game, the pros still outweigh the cons. So let's chat. What was it like to wear Apple Vision Pro? All right, so I sat on a couch in a small room flanked by an Apple employee in chairs on each side of me, and they guided me through the Vision Pro demo from start to finish. As discussed during the keynote at the Worldwide Developer Conference, the new Vision OS, or operating system, features a fully three-dimensional user interface, and it's controlled in three ways: with your eyes, your voice, and your hands. With your eyes, they are tracked with inward-facing sensors on this headset. With your voice, you can control things, and it includes Siri, of course, but I did not get a chance to try that. That was not enabled for the demo. And then with your hands, it works in a few ways. You can do finger gestures. For me, it was my left hand resting kind of on my leg. They taught us how to tap and swipe using your fingers to control the content that I'm seeing through the headset. You can twist a digital crown knob on the side of the headset, similar to the dial on Apple Watch on the right side. There's also support for an optional wireless magic keyboard or trackpad, but that was not part of my demo either. Now, putting on Vision Pro was similar to other virtual reality headsets for the most part. You place it over your eyes and you tighten the head straps so it fits nice and snug. I did find it comfortable, but it was not as light as the PlayStation VR 2 or PSVR 2 headset that came out a few months ago. A small battery pack, about the size of two iPhones stacked, is tethered to the headset for power, and it stayed beside me on the sofa while I was seated. After a bit of calibration for eye and hand tracking, the home view screen magically floated in the room I was seated in. So it's kind of magical. It's kind of like, you know, your home screen for your iPhone, complete with familiar app icon bubbles like Safari and Photos and Apple TV and more. And when you simply look at a specific app, don't forget there's eye tracking, it magically becomes highlighted. So that icon is highlighted. And then you just pinch your fingers to select it. So the interface was very intuitive. I opened up Safari and I found reading small text on websites was surprisingly clear. All right, on to photos and videos. I opened the Photos app and I viewed a number of high resolution images with incredible clarity. No doubt, thanks to the headset's twin displays totaling 23 million pixels, which is more than 4K resolution. And the room automatically dimmed around these crisp images for added immersion. I also saw some really wide panoramic shots of Iceland and Oregon's coast. One of the most impressive parts of the demo by far was seeing spatial photos and videos captured by the Vision Pro headset. And that included scenes of kids blowing out birthday cake and another one with some friends hanging out outside by a fire pit, sipping drinks and telling stories and laughing and such. It truly looked 3D, like really being there. Lets you then relive those memories long after you captured them with the same realistic depth. No VR headset I've tried can do anything like this. Adding to the immersion was 3D audio, so you can pinpoint with your ears where the voices and sounds were coming from in that video. Later on, a demo with Alicia Keys singing by a piano in a recording studio was even more remarkable. So this is all possible as the Vision Pro has 12 cameras, 5 sensors, and 6 microphones. My next demo was equally as mind-blowing. It was a live FaceTime call with someone in another room. You likely know FaceTime is like a video call with friends. You can do it on your iPhone or iPad or Mac. But with Vision Pro, the person I was chatting with was represented by a digital avatar, or what Apple calls a persona, that looked just like her. But it was first digitally captured. They captured her face, and then it's animated in real time with her actual facial and body expressions. So it looked like the real woman I was talking to, but it was a virtual version of her, if you will. But all her expressions were in real time. I asked her if I can see what I looked like to her, but she explained that I would first need to scan my face and go through this process that was not part of the demo. Ah, well. My FaceTime friend then launched a freeform screen for me to see. It's kind of like a shared whiteboard, and she demonstrated what collaboration may look like in the future. And not just with flat images, but 3D objects too, including a rendered three-dimensional room in a home that she was expanding and shrinking and rotating with her fingers. Now, before I continue, I should note multitasking seemed intuitive in Vision Pro, as you can drag windows around and place them around you and simply look with your eyes or move your head if you need to select what you want. The second last demo consisted of what's called environments, which are full-screen relaxing videos tied to head tracking, like a virtual reality experience. But when the Apple employees in my room started to talk with me, their images smoothly appeared in my scene, like gradually appearing, and that's called breakthrough, to stay connected with those around you. So that was pretty wild. And I also sat through a 1-minute mindfulness session with a soothing voice, the British accent, and 3D images to focus on. Finally, for some entertainment, we launched an underwater 3D demo of Avatar 2, Way of the Water, which turned my mock living room into a personal movie theater. You can select how big you want the virtual screen to be. And again, the outside environment kind of melts into black. All right, so the most impressive thing I saw, as I mentioned, were those spatial photos and videos. The second most impressive part of the Vision Pro demo was called Apple Immersive Video. This was a collection of demos featuring incredibly realistic 180-degree views of various scenes of nature, a woman tightrope walking between mountains, underwater scenes. We saw samples of sports games like baseball, soccer, and basketball. There was a train that was plowing through a snow-covered track and a lot more. In a word, wow. I mean, I've seen a lot of VR, virtual reality, in my day, but not with this much clarity and depth. The last demo was interactive. It was a dinosaur experience that they asked me to get up and walk around. And then this giant 3D dino followed me around the room, which was kind of neat. Again, the detail, like the skin, I was like right up against its nose and the skin was amazing. And before that, they had this like fluttering butterfly that was supposed to land on my outstretched hand. Again, it's supposed to be interactive. That didn't work, but still cool nonetheless. All right, so what's the verdict on Apple Vision Pro? I have to say, trying out Apple technology that won't be available for another year was extraordinary. I mean, it really is a magical experience. I will give them that. The user interface was graceful and intuitive, and the applications are seemingly endless for work and play. Yes, the concerns over price are real, and Apple no doubt knows this isn't going to be a mass market product at $3,500. I wouldn't say they're tone deaf, to use that expression, by working on something most people can't afford, as Apple is clearly investing in what's possible for the future. Will it flop? Who knows? But Apple isn't just dipping its toe here in the spatial computing space. They're diving in head first and they want to own it. And from a technology standpoint, it was super impressive. I understand that not everybody wants to wear a headset. That's a good point. And I get that some people think technology like this is kind of disconcerting as it may encourage less human interaction, similar to the concerns over the metaverse that Mark Zuckerberg was so bullish about over the last year and a bit. So look, it's not going to be for everyone. And then finally, yeah, requiring an external battery that lasts only up to 2 hours isn't ideal either. But hey, don't forget, this is a generation one product. It's a gen one product. And if any company can figure out how to improve battery management, it's Apple. Think of how much the iPhone has evolved over the years. This category is in its infancy, to say the least. So to sum it up, as someone who has been reviewing tech for nearly 30 years, consider me super excited about Apple Vision Pro. Only after I had the demo, when I saw the keynote, I was like, yeah, it's cool. But it wasn't until I experienced it with my own eyes that I really got it. Skeptics, and there are many, should at least reserve judgment until they get a chance to try it out for themselves as well. Who knows when that will be, if Apple's going to even allow the general public to try it out. So I guess those who buy this in a year from now are going to be deep-pocketed early adopters that are willing to take a leap of faith because it's Apple. Would love to get your thoughts. I'll plug my social media handles when we return. Stick with us. More Tech It Out coming right up after this.
Listen to Tech It Out whenever you want. Find the Tech It Out podcast at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Tech It Out. This show is powered by Asus for those in search of incredible. Asus creates technology for today and tomorrow's smart life, and that includes its line of award-winning laptops and desktops, accessories like monitors, mice, and keyboards. There's mobile tech like smartphones and tablets, smartwatches, and much more. For those in search of incredible, visit asus.com/us/radio for more info. That's asus.com/us/radio. So, hey, I wanted to hear your thoughts about the Apple Vision Pro. If you've heard about it, if you've seen it on TV, maybe you watched the entire keynote address at Apple Park for Worldwide Developer Conference. So hit me up on social media. I'll spell my name in a moment, but I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. It's Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman. Mark Saltzman. So that's Mark with a C, Saltzman with a Z. Let me know what you think. Or if you want to read my review for USA Today, you can type my name into your favorite search engine along with the word USA Today and Vision Pro headset. All right, let's continue on with the show. I'm going to play an interview that I recorded in a hotel lobby in Manaus, Brazil, just after visiting the Amazon rainforest with Intel. So let's roll it. So as I mentioned earlier in the show, I had quite the experience last week visiting Brazil and the Amazon rainforest. Believe it or not, there's a solar hub built by Intel and some other partners like Dell, FAS, and Computer Aid out of the UK. And we had a chance to see this in action. So without further ado, I am sitting here with Ana Pina. She's Communications Director for Intel Americas to talk about the experience and what this technology brings to the community. First of all, it was great to spend a few days with you, Ana.
It's my pleasure to be here with you, and I think we lived something that's going to be memorable and will live forever in our hearts. It was a fantastic experience to be able to be joined by you and go to the middle of the rainforest and experience what it means to really bring technology to people and connect them to the world. This is a community of indigenous people who had been disconnected from the world for so long. And the thing is that this community is surrounded by rivers, right? And the flow of the river goes high, like 25 meters. So for some months of the year, they practically live not connected. The access is not that easy, and the boats are not that fast. And people have to walk and walk and walk long distances to be able to access. So it's practically half of the year when this happens. And what we did, so Intel, along with Dell, along with Computer Aid and Foundation for Sustainable Amazonas, together we created a solar community hub. So what we did was bring technology there to that community. It's computers, it's servers, it's solar panels. People have access to for two reasons. One is for e-learning, for education, and the other reason is telemedicine. So without the technology being there, they wouldn't have access to the outside world and to a doctor, to psychologists, therapists, or even to education, to professors.
All right, it's quite something to see. I think they call them containers that they bring in.
Containers,
piece by piece. They have to bring it up from the river, which we made that trek up steep hand-built stairs, if you will. And then it was compiled and with solar power, and there is some electricity little bit as well. So you're bringing computers to this indigenous community, and I believe 12 others in the area, or 12 in total. So it's bringing technology to them instead of them having to go to technology. And there are a couple of main purposes, as you said, Anna. One is for telemedicine, so they're able to video chat with doctors and psychologists and nurses to describe their ailments and get treatment there with some of the medicine they have on site, and then also to bridge the digital divide, to give them the tools that they need, whether it's in their village or they go elsewhere to work. An obvious question here is, did they want this, right? I mean, this is an important part of it that FAS talked about, FAST talked about. So they obviously did their homework first and spoke with this community and made sure that this is something they wanted, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was negotiation because we had to talk with the government, we had to talk with the communities, and as you saw, there's like a grandfather and a grandmother of that community, so the way that they organize themselves is different. It's you could say that still very traditional in its essence. So yes, we had to speak with all the levels of government that they have to make sure that this is something, first of all, that they wanted and that they would contribute to. Because when you bring a technology like this or a project like this to a community, you need to make the community part of it. And that's what happened. Everyone was super involved since the beginning. And it's currently impacting 33 families that live here. But it's giving the solar hub is giving service to 1,500 people. So people do walk 3 hours to get to that community, and they do spend the day over there, and they do invest time learning. In fact, we have the case of Ulises, who's the son of Anna, who leads the community, and he went abroad, let's say abroad, to study and professionalize himself, and then came back to the community, and he's now the teacher for all the children.
Yeah, we were able to see a classroom sort of in action. So we saw about 15 kids working on computers. I think some were working on Excel and others were on the internet. And yeah, the teacher was this young man who was a product of the Solar Hub when it was built 2 years ago, and he left and got some certification and came back, and this is where he wants to be. And I think that nicely answers my question about the community wanting this, because they probably have a fear that they're going to get a taste of the outside and they're going to want to leave the community. But this is an example of where they want to stay and help others. Anna will answer that and many other questions when we return on Tech It Out. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more.
Want to follow Mark? Google him. Mark with a C and Saltzman with a Z. Breaking down geek speak into street speak. This is Tech It Out. Tech It Out with technology columnist, author, and TV personality Mark Saltzman.
Welcome back to Tech It Out, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the program so far. I first looked at the Apple Vision Pro headset with my own eyes in Cupertino, California at the company's Worldwide Developer Conference last week. And now we are chatting with Anna Pena from Intel Americas. She's Director of Communications, about this trip to the Amazon rainforest that I was privileged to be part of, to see how technology can impact very remote communities in a profoundly positive way. So I'm chatting chatting with Ana Pena at a hotel in Manaus, Brazil, just after our trip, talking about the solar community hub that Intel and Dell and others built to help these indigenous communities with telemedicine and tech skills and education. Before the break, I asked Ana about the fear among these communities where they may not want this technology because it could encourage their community members to go abroad and leave to pursue other opportunities. You know, is this like sort of a double-edged sword kind of thing? So before the break, we talked about someone we met at the Solar Community Hub who did come back, and Ana wanted to expand a bit more on that. Have a listen.
Yes, it's not the only case that we have of people going and coming back. There are two other people in the community that had already left and then came back also. And the architects of this project are very close to it, to what's happening. And they come back and, you know, they're making sure that this is a, like a sustainable project that the community is able to keep alive. Otherwise, you get rusted computers and, you know, it defies the purpose. Sure. And the purpose truly is to create technology that changes the lives of people and enriches the lives of people. And that's what's happening. That's what we actually saw.
We're, by the way, in the lobby of a hotel in Manaus, which is sort of north central Brazil, and a flight and a boat ride to the Amazon from here. And this is 4 hours north of São Paulo. And so it's a little bit noisy in the lobby that we're in, and it's pouring rain outside. I am chatting with Ana Pena. She's a communications director for Intel Americas about this solar hut built in the Amazon rainforest that we visited on Thursday. And you could read my article about it, by the way, in USA Today and see some photos. I loved how they personalized the hut by having the local community paint pictures on the wall.
Yeah, and you know what? When the containers got into the Amazonian rainforest, what the community did was put wood around it to protect it and put isopor. So the way that they regularly protect the houses and their constructions, they did that. And then they painted it, and everyone put their hands, and they built like a flushing system because they built bathrooms along with it, right? So you have two bathrooms right there for the people using the computers. And also they planted around it. And there's now a project for cleaning water associated to the community. So, you know, the impulse is there, and it's starting to make the community thrive and evolve.
Yes, like you said yesterday, it's planting the seed for future generations on a few levels, quite literally and figuratively. I was interested to hear of one story. Someone asked about an example of telemedicine. Someone said that there was an older man in their community who was very unwell, too unwell to travel to the closest city by boat to find out what was wrong. It turned out he had severe pneumonia, but it was his first time seeing his screen. You know, he was telling a doctor his symptoms, and they were able to prescribe him antibiotics, which cured him. But that was a great example of from last year. That's quite moving.
Yeah, it was. And let me clarify. So you and I and the rest of the Intel team and the Dell team, we got to go in a private plane and then do a boat ride in a very fast boat. This is not the reality for the community. Like, they live there, and if they want to get medical attention in the traditional way, they have to go in a boat ride that will last 2 or 3 hours, and then they have to get in line. They have to get in line in Manicoré, which is like the city that's the closest. And they were telling me that in sometimes it will take 2 or 3 days for them to get the attention because they have to stand in line. So it's complicated. And this is making it easier for them. Even the transportation of medication, sometimes the medication will come to them and they will not have to go into the capital because it costs money and it costs time and resources.
Yeah. Amazing. So, and we should mention that there is universal health care in Brazil, but it is a matter of getting to a city big enough and then having to wait in line, like you were saying. But when they do speak to doctors or psychologists and nurses over the internet, it is all covered for them, which is wonderful. Talk to me a little bit, please, about Intel's involvement. I don't think this is your first solar hub in Brazil or elsewhere. I think there's something where you're based in Mexico City. So what was sort of the impetus for this? What was the motivation for Intel to get involved?
So I love to tell this story. This is a product of the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit, Intel destined some money to fund world-changing projects. So you had to submit the project, and some of them got approved, some of them didn't. But the best projects, the ones that had a true impact in humanity, those were the ones who got approved. And this one was one of them. And I'm very proud to say that this project came through my communications team. It was my very own team, Carolina, who spoke with the folks at Dell, and they said, okay, we have this together, let's do it, and let's power it, and let's put funding behind it, and let's have two big companies like Dell and Intel doing this together. And the project is very close to my heart, because before managing communications for Intel, I was managing communications for Dell for 10 years. So it's very close to my heart, and it's the fulfillment of the purpose of the two companies. Like, you know, world-changing technology.
Well, congratulations, Anna. No doubt it's super rewarding for you. I could see it on your face. It was so amazing to see it. That's an understatement, to see it with my own eyes and talk with the people that benefit from the Solar Hub, people that work there, and walking around the community as a whole, this small village that's all built around the solar hut in the Amazon rainforest. Congratulations again. Thank you so much for carving out some time to talk with us today.
And thank you for making the time to come with us. It was a life-changing experience. I'm very happy that we got to experience it together. Thank you, Mark.
If you're interested to learn more, simply go to your favorite search engine like Google or Bing and type in Solar Community Hub and the word Intel, and you'll find it there. Very, very interesting stuff. When we return on Tech It Out, it's dads and grad season, right? Father's Day is coming up next weekend, Sunday, June 18th, and it's also a time to celebrate the grad in your home, usually around June. So I'll share some gadget and game gift ideas for someone in your family or close friends. And also on the show, we'll have tech expert Mario Armstrong. He's a regular guest here, and he'll share a few recommendations as well, covering a variety of prices as well. So a lot more Tech It Out coming right up after this. Stick with us.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. Tech It Out, hosted by Mark Saltzman.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Tech It Out. Father's Day is coming up next Sunday, June the 18th, and it's also graduation season for many. So I wanted to share some ideas with you. Let's start off with the hottest game on the planet, Nintendo's The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. You've probably seen people waiting in line on TV. This new game is an epic journey starring Link, of course, but lets you carve out your own path. You can build an experiment to create your own spin on the adventure. I was beside somebody on an airplane coming back from California, and he was playing the same level that I beat a couple of weeks earlier, but he was approaching things in a completely different way, which is very cool. So it's $69 and playable on the Nintendo Switch. And if you don't have a console yet, the Nintendo Switch OLED model, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom Edition. It has that beautiful screen, and it's adorned with all the Legend of Zelda artwork on the outside. It's $359. Very cool stuff. And if you are shopping for a Nintendo Switch owner, another great gift idea is the gift of storage. SanDisk micro SD cards are great for storing games and other media, and they do have a license with Nintendo. So there's a 64 gigabyte Yoshi card for only $16, and a huge 1 terabyte micro SD card tied to The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, complete with a Hylian crest on it, and that's 1,000 gigabytes to store all of your digital content. You will not run out of room so easily with something that big. Amazing. All in the same size of your fingernail. These are fast cards as well. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom 1 terabyte SanDisk card is $149. All right, let's now talk productivity for dads and grads. For those on the go, they will no doubt love the HP Envy X360. It's a perfect 2-in-1 touchscreen laptop for work or play, with its gorgeous up to 4K touchscreen in sizes 13, 15, 16, or 17 inches. You can choose. And it's called the Envy X360, not just because someone will be envious if you have this, but the 360 refers to the 360-degree hinge, so you can bend back the screen and use it like a tablet when you no longer need the keyboard and trackpad, or use a digital pen with it, or your fingertip, or your voice. It's super versatile, powered by an Intel Core processor, so super fast performance. It also has a lot of security. So this HP laptop has a built-in webcam shutter, so you can manually close the lens when you don't want to be seen. There's a mute microphone button and a fingerprint reader for logging on securely. Prices start at $799 for the HP Envy X360. Speaking of versatility, calling the Kobo Elipsa 2e an e-reader would be a huge understatement. Yes, it does have a gorgeous and massive 10.3-inch touchscreen with Comfort Light Pro to reduce blue light and ease eye strain while reading ebooks, but it's also the ultimate note-taking device for writing out and organizing your notebooks. So these digital notebooks stored inside of this super thin device that you bring with you on the go, it can convert your handwriting into text. You can mark up PDFs or write on ebook pages, you know, like making notes in the margins or circling or underlining certain content that you want to revisit or share with somebody. You can export your notebooks to the cloud for easy convenience, something you can read then on another device. And not only does it support ebooks, which you can buy or borrow through your local library, but you can also listen to audiobooks on the Kobo Elipsa 2e with Bluetooth headphones or a Bluetooth speaker. And then finally, it was made with ocean-bound plastic, so very eco-friendly. The Kobo Elipsa 2e costs $399, and you can buy it at Kobo.com. A couple of other suggestions when it comes to big screen entertainment, Roku smart TVs are a great gift for dads and grads, and they start at only $98 for a 32-inch 720p LED Roku smart TV. I was showing a 55-inch model on TV called the On 4K HDR smart TV. On is spelled, by the way, O-N-N. And it too gives you a lot of bang for the buck at under $250. So it's got that 4K resolution screen. That's four times the resolution of a 1080p image. Access to countless streaming services, including Roku's own and exclusive Roku channel, which is free, as well as, you know, Netflix and Amazon Prime Video and Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus and so on. There are multiple HDMI ports and an easy to use remote and many other features as well. For an even bigger picture, up to 300 inches, in fact, that's four times the size of a 75-inch flat TV, by the way, the compact Epson Epic Vision Flex Smart Portable Projector can be brought between the family room and the boardroom. So great for giving presentations to your colleagues or clients, and then just throw it in your backpack. And when you bring it home, you can watch sports or play games or stream TV shows and movies with it. So great for your 9-to-5 work life or your 5-to-9 downtime. It delivers a full HD 1080p picture with high brightness at 3000 lumens. And as I mentioned, you can also stream content from your favorite services built in already. Epson calls this device perfect for business, epic for play. It's $549. And it's also great for those who may have a summer home, like a cottage or a cabin, as you can bring it from place to place. Again, that's called the Epson Epic Vision Flex Smart Portable Projector. And finally, at just $39.99, Amazon has introduced the Echo Pop, the latest Amazon smart speaker powered by Alexa with new colors like lavender and teal. Among them, very cool looking devices. It has a new form factor with loud and full sound. Of course, you can ask Alexa a question or give it a command like controlling your smart home devices. And also, if you have an Eero mesh system at home, that's a Wi-Fi network that's E-E-R-O. It is owned by Amazon. These Echo Pop smart devices have built-in Eero support. It can extend your wireless coverage up to 1,000 square feet per speaker. So it's a nice added benefit to broadening or expanding your Wi-Fi in and around your home. Love it. So as you can see, no shortage of great gadget and game gift ideas for dads and grads starting at only $16 and going all the way up to $899. So based on your budget or however many people are going in for that gift. And hey, you can hit me up on social media if you have any questions about these. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. It's Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman. We'll be right back with more Tech It Out.
Follow Mark Saltzman on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Listen to Tech It Out whenever you want.
Now that we're into June, this is the season for dads and grads, the month where we celebrate Father's Day and maybe a graduate in your home or in your family. Well, tech expert Mario Armstrong is here to share some gift ideas for Father's Day, graduation, and beyond. Hey, Mario, welcome to the program. Hey, Mark, good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
I know you're busy on set doing lots of TV interviews, so thanks for carving out some time to chat. So without further ado, what do you got for us today?
Well, I partnered up with some great brands for dads and grads, and I'm really excited about this good stuff. I got some really awesome stuff in studio. I'm going to start first with the OnePlus Pad. Now, Mark, this is the perfect gift for work, study, and play. It's a tablet that is powered by the MediaTek Dimensity 9000 chip. It's really fast when browsing the web, gaming, reading, or even jumping between multiple apps. It's the world's first tablet, by the way, with a 7:5 ratio screen, and the square display is easier to use for reading, and the size makes it really comfortable to use as well. The battery lasts all day on this thing, and it only takes 60 minutes to get a full charge, and I was really impressed that it could be on standby for a month.
Standby for a month. That's super cool.
Now, dads are also going to love something else that I got for you. And I use this in my backyard, so I love this. This is Lights by Govee, but let me bring this down to you. This is not just regular lights. These are custom lights that you can bring to the exterior of your home. The product is Govee RGBIC LED permanent outdoor lights. It's really perfect for all seasons and even those special occasions. They're waterproof, weatherproof, and last 50,000 hours. They have 69 customized modes, including holiday modes and a lot more. The Govee permanent outdoor lights is the first and only self-installation of permanent lights on the market. And it's eco-friendly, and you can control them using Alexa, Google Assistant, and the Govee Home app. Lots of fun there for every occasion.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. And for our listeners, we're not mentioning prices on the air, but if you go to inthenews.tv, you'll see Mario Armstrong, our guest tech expert, who's sharing some dads and grads ideas. And you're also going to see these products in action. All right, let's now pivot and talk about something for grads.
Yeah, well, I know grads are always like, look, they graduated, but it's always room to expand. That's what it's all about, lifelong learning. So grads can expand their opportunities with Rosetta Stone. You can choose from 25 languages. The Rosetta Stone app will help them learn useful words and phrases to get the most out of their future travels, their careers, and more, which is really just a great idea. But I also think it's a great gift for dads as a hobby. Like, I'm using it to be able to speak to Spanish to some of my family and friends. And get this, Mark, Rosetta Stone's Lifetime Unlimited plan with forever access is 50% off at rosetta.com, but only from now through June 18th.
Yeah, that's a good deal. And I got to be honest, I was trying to use the Duolingo app when I went to Brazil to learn Portuguese, and it was not very helpful. Rosetta Stone, the OG, great to hear that they're still as relevant as before. So thanks for sharing that. What about something for dads and grads who love entertainment?
All right, this is one of my favorites. I'm an entertainment person. I love watching some great shows. So this is one of my favorites. This is a great gift for dad. It's Paramount's hit comedy series, Tulsa King, starring Sylvester Stallone. Now, season one is available on June 6th. It's now on DVD, Blu-ray, and a limited edition steelbook. You can get all 9 episodes and over 90 minutes of bonus content. Stallone stars as Dwight the General Manfredi. Now, he's a mafia capo. He's just released from prison, but he's exiled by his boss to set up shop in Tulsa. So in Tulsa, he ends up building this crew of this like group of really unlikely characters that create this new criminal empire. It's a lot of fun, full of action as well. Also, Mark, if your dad or grad is a Hot Wheels fan, then they'll love Hot Wheels Rift Rally, the all-new mixed reality racing game from Velen Studios. It's perfect for all kids, from kindergarten grads to the kid at heart dad like me. It includes a cutting edge toy RC car with an attached camera on it to turn your living room into the ultimate Hot Wheels racetrack. It's available at Amazon and GameStop starting at $129 for PlayStation 4 and 5 and your Apple devices. So Mark, get ready to rev those engines, man.
First of all, Tulsa King, great show. Loved the first season. Stallone was amazing, as is the other cast members. So great storyline. My wife and I couldn't stop watching it. So very cool. And yeah, love the mixed reality stuff when it comes to entertainment. So thanks for sharing that. As we wrap up, Mario, what's the best website once again to see all of this and to get pricing and links and all that?
We got all the links, pricing, and more. Just go to the website inthenews.tv.
Awesome, Mario. Always great to have you on the program. Happy Father's Day to you and all the best. Thanks again.
Great to chat with you too, Mark.
Hey, thank you for tuning in to Tech It Out, everyone, powered by Asus for those in search of incredible, as well as Western Digital. Hope you enjoyed the program. It was a packed one. Again, if you want to reach out, ask me any questions, give me some suggestions as we inch towards the 300th episode of Tech It Out, you can send me an email at marksaltzman.com. That's marksaltzman.com. Or you can send me a note on social media. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. I'm wishing you all a fantastic rest of your day, a safe and healthy week ahead, and I look forward to catching up with you next weekend for another episode of Tech It Out. Bye-bye, everyone. Take care. Ciao.